Morning. The Lord had quite a busy day. I think sometimes we read the account of Easter, same as Christmas time. You know, we read the account, we're so familiar with the story that we kind of think, oh yeah, I kind of forgot that took place then and that happened then. So I want to just look at a busy day from the dead. And in order for us to get a full picture of what happened that day, for us to get a full picture of what happened that day, we need to look at the accounts of all four Gospels. And because each writer gives a slightly different detail, not a different account, a different detail of what took place during that day. They don't contradict one another, but they do put together a full picture for us. So in Mark, and we don't have to go to the scripture, I'll give you some of the references, but several women head towards the tomb early in the morning. We see that in Mark chapter 16, 2-3, Matthew 28:1, Luke 24:1, John 20:1. So the women head towards the tomb. Then the angel rolls the stone away, Matthew 28, verse 2 and 3. The Roman guards panic and flee, Matthew 28, verse 4. The women arrive at the tomb, finding that the stone is rolled away and the tomb is empty, Luke 24, 2-3, Matthew 28:1, Mark 16, 4, John 20, verse 1. Then two angels appear to the women inside the tomb and tell them that Jesus is alive and to go and tell the disciples. The women go and tell the disciples, who do not believe their report. Peter and John then run to the tomb, find it empty and return home. Mary Magdalene comes back to the tomb and remains there alone crying. If you remember in John 20, she talks to the Lord thinking that he is the gardener. And that then brings us to our text today. Matthew 16 and verse 9 says, "Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and they had seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided with them their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come and celebrate what happened today. Because you live, then we are able to live also. Because of your power over death, hell, and the grave has no hold on us. There is no sting in death, and there is no victory in the grave for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today and help us to recognize that we may be a part of one of these encounters. Maybe we are Mary at the tomb and we need to be reassured. Maybe we are the two disciples on the road to Emmaus and we need to be reminded. Maybe we are the 11 in that room that need to be reprimanded. Whatever it is, Lord, help us to again see all that you are and all that you've done and all that you can do for us. And we just thank you again for this opportunity to come around you a word today. Speak to our hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So the first thing I want us to look at, we're going to look at the three encounters of these three different groups of people. The one at the garden, the two on the road, and the 11 in the room. And first of all, we see that Christ appeared to the one at the tomb, and he reassures her. He reassures her. And he says verse 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." The word "first" here can refer to one in first in place, rank, or honor. It's incredible that Christ could have appeared to any number of people first. I mean, he could have appeared to Peter first, the one who had denied him. He could have appeared to John first, the one whom John tells us time and time again in his gospel, the one whom Jesus loved. He could have appeared to his mother first. There's a whole host of people that the Lord could have appeared to first, but why this particular woman? Mark reminds us the kind of woman that Mary was, out of whom Jesus had cast seven devils. This, when Jesus met her, was a demon-possessed woman, a woman caught in the worst type of bondage. She was a prisoner of Satan, caught in the devil's grip. She probably lived a wicked life that would make even a sailor today blush, for want of a modern-day vernacular, giving herself to every kind of sin and vice imaginable. Here's the incredible thing about coming face-to-face with Christ. He changes you. Christ is able to take the vilest of sin. And you might be here this morning unsaved, and you might say, well, I'm a good person. Well, Christ can even take a, from your point of view, good person, and turn them into an even better person. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person on the planet has sinned and is in need of a Saviour. Some people's sin just is, from a worldly perspective, more than others. And this woman was in that kind of bondage. But she was changed. Her life was changed. She followed the Lord because she, not just because of his love for her, but because of her love for him. She loved him for all that he had done in her life. She loved him because of the change in her life. She loved him because of the fact that Christ had freed her from that bondage of sin. Those who have been forgiven most often seem to love the Lord the most. And the Lord kind of illustrated that in Luke chapter 7, when the Lord was in the Pharisee's house and the woman was at his feet, and she was a woman that was frowned upon by society and looked down upon, and she was there anointing the Lord's feet with her hair, and the Pharisee said, Lord, you know what type of woman this is? He said, yeah, I do. But she obviously knows the type of person that I am. Because when I came into your house, nobody washed my feet, nobody took care of my needs, and yet this woman has given her all. Yeah, but this woman is vile, and this woman is this, that, and the other. And the Lord said, yeah, I know. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. This woman had been forgiven so much that she loved the Lord so much. You might say, well, why was she the first person that the Lord appeared to? Where's everybody else in the garden? Everybody else is gone. There's nobody left in the garden. But she's there. She remained. None of the disciples are there. The Lord's mother, the half-brothers and sisters are not there, and she's alone. And as a result, receives that special blessing. You ever had that feeling? I'll be honest with you. I hate missing church. That absolutely kills me not being in church. Online is great, and I am thankful for the online ministry. I'm thankful for the fact we're able to, get the gospel into homes. And I'm thankful for the fact that when I wasn't well last weekend, I was able to watch the services online. But I hate missing church. You ever had that feeling? Sometimes you think, oh, I should go, but something else has come up. Oh, I should go, but I've got other things to do. I should go, but... And then you don't. Maybe the Lord's got a special blessing for you. Maybe the Lord's going to speak to your heart that day. You know, there were times, and I know I've shared this with you before, there were times when I used to come home from work, after working 12, 13 hours, and then thinking, oh, I don't want to go to Bible study tonight. And it was as if the Lord was saying, you need to be there. And that was the night that the Lord had something just for me. It could have been the fact that there was nobody else in the church, just me, because Pastor Ed would preach, and it would be just the message that I needed to hear. I'm sure Mary could have thought, "Wow, this is useless. I can't believe the body's not there. I can't believe the Lord is gone. I can't believe everybody's scattered. You know what? I may as well just go home." But she didn't. She was where she was meant to be, and the Lord blessed her. You know, thousands of years ago, God called Moses up onto that hillside. And God said to Moses, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back pass, but my face shall not be seen. Can I say this today, that we can be as close to the Lord today as we want to be? In the 16 years that I've pastored this church, I've seen many people come close to the Lord and then fade away. You've seen people come into the church and, oh man, they're on fire for the Lord, and they want to serve the Lord, and they're excited about the things of God, and they are literally just bubbling. And it doesn't take much for something to happen then. Maybe something somebody has said in the church. Maybe something I've said or done. Maybe, you know, something else has happened in their lives, and suddenly that little spark goes out. And then they start to miss services. And then they start missing their Bible reading, their prayer time, their fellowship. And then they're out of church. They're out of fellowship with the people in the church, with God himself, and they're just gone. We are as close to the Lord as we want to be. That's the thing. James says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We can still walk with the Lord today in the cool of the day, just like Adam did. We can still rest our head on his breast, just like John did in the upper room. We can still enjoy that sweet fellowship of the Lord every single moment of every single day. Why? Because he's alive. Because he lives. Because he wants to fellowship with us. Because he wants to spend time with us. We are the fickle ones. We are the ones that when something doesn't go our way, we pout and we turn our back on God and say, right, okay then, I'm not playing this game anymore. But he's never turned his back on us. The Lord appeared to Mary. Why? Because her heart was broken. You know, when our hearts break because something is not going right in our lives, when our hearts break because we're frustrated with the situation or the circumstance we find ourselves in, we need to understand that God is there to comfort our hearts, to help us, to reassure us. Yes, circumstances might not be going our way. Yes, things might not be going as smoothly as we think they should. But God is still God. He is still in control. He's still our Savior. He's still our God. The Lord appears to Mary. Her heart is broken. And you can see from the different gospel accounts that she is just in pieces. And it's incredible in John 20 verse 16 when the Lord just says to her, Mary. She didn't know who he was initially, and as soon as he said her name, she was like, Master, it's you. How many times have you felt like that, where you have been so low, where you have been so down, where you've been so disheartened, where you've been so distraught, and then the Lord has just come alongside you and said your name? And the Lord says, it's okay. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. I'm still in control. And able to contain her excitement, Mary goes and tells the disciples, and she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. As they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had seen of her, believed not. Now let me ask you this question. Did their unbelief change how Mary felt? And here's the thing. Sometimes the Lord can do something for us and we can be so excited about it. Salvation, for example. We are so excited to be saved. We're so excited for the fact that God has forgiven our sins, that has given us a place in heaven, and we are desperate to tell others. And we get so disheartened when people say, I don't believe that. I don't want to know that. That's a load of nonsense. That's for you to do. You do you. I'll do me. I don't want to talk about this stuff anymore. And sometimes we get kind of discouraged because nobody else will believe. But Mary didn't, it didn't change the fact that Mary had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord and spoke her name. Whether people accept the gospel or reject the gospel, it doesn't matter. We've still had a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He calls us by name. Sometimes we just need to be reassured because life is tough. Life is hard. Life is discouraging. And we go through many battles and trials and tribulations and difficulties. And I can promise you this, if you've never been through a trial in your life, Christian, you can guarantee one is on his way. I remember Pastor Ed used to say, you're in one of three places. You're either going into a valley, or you're in the valley, or you're just coming out of the valley. Maybe you've never experienced a valley-type experience in your life. As a Christian, I can promise you this, before you leave this earth, you'll go through a valley at some point. And when you're there, Christ will still be there to reassure you and call you by name. Not only did he meet the one at the garden and reassure her, he met the two on the road and reminded them. In Mark 16:12, we here have a summary of Luke 24:13-35, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Mark just simply says, after that, in verse 12, he appeared to in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Jesus appeared to the two disciples, the Emmaus Road disciples, as they walked to Emmaus, and the Lord kind of walks along with them and joins in with their conversation. As they walked, they talked about the events of the past few days, and when you really look at that account in Luke 24, it's quite sad because they talk a lot in the past tense. It says, you know, that they had believed, and you know, it's all kind of past tense kind of talk, and you can say that we trusted, kind of we had trusted instead of we do trust. And it's quite a sad conversation, but the Lord walks along with them and talks with them, and they're disheartened because of the Lord's crucifixion, because you know the fact that. You know, they kind of maybe talking as if they had backed the wrong horse, type, so to speak. And when they get to their home, they invite their guest in because they didn't recognize that this was Jesus. They invite their guest in and they sat down to have a meal together. And as soon as the Lord broke the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was. We don't see Jesus today in a physical sense. And lots of people say, when you witness to people, lots of people say, if I could see him. If I could see him. If he came in here now today and he turned that water into wine, I would believe him straight away. If he came in here and he raised somebody from the dead, then I'd follow him. No question. But we don't need to see Jesus doing that. And do you know what? In all truthfulness, you wouldn't follow him anyway, because Christ did exactly that. He raised people from the dead. He healed the sick. The lame walked. The dumb spoke. The blind saw. And people still rejected him. We don't need to see Jesus physically today. What did Jesus use to convince the two disciples that Jesus was Jesus? He could have quite simply showed himself there and then. And said, look, it's me. Look, here's the nail prints. Here's the scars. Here's the price that I paid on Calvary. But he didn't. He reminded them from the scripture. In Luke 24 and verse 25 and 27, it says, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Any of the people living on that day would have loved to have seen the miracles They would love to have seen the angels, the empty tomb, the stone rolled away, the risen Savior walking and talking with them. But they didn't need to see any of those things. Why? Because they had His Word. On the third day, the disciples, the family, everybody associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, anybody that had heard Him speak for the past 3.5 years, anybody that had been in His presence for the last 3.5 years, should have been at the empty tomb waiting for Christ to come out and rise. Why? Because He told them that's what He would do. He said in Matthew 16:21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and rise again the third day. He said in Matthew 17:22-23, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him. And the third day He shall be raised again. In Matthew 20, Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall be condemn Him to death, and they shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day He shall rise again. Christ said, this is what's going to happen. I am going to Jerusalem. I am going to die. And on the third day, I will rise again. So why weren't they there? Why weren't they at the tomb on the third day instead of weeping? Why weren't they there rejoicing, waiting with expectation for the Lord to come out of that tomb? You know, what a lesson for us today. Some of us are still waiting for a Damascus kind of road type of experience. People won't get saved today until they, like Paul, and they see that light and they hear the Lord speak from heaven. Why do we need to wait for that type of experience when we've got everything we need in the Word of God? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we either believe the Word or we don't. Let me ask you this question. Do we believe that Christ rose from the dead? Why do we believe that? Because He said so. So why don't we believe everything else that He said so? Ah, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible, but I can't believe that creation stuff. That's nonsense. The world had to have evolved. But He said so. And He didn't just say in Genesis, you know, I loved what Andrew said Wednesday. Andrew Davis said Wednesday, you know, there's like a chapter and a bit on all of creation. And yet there's like 50 chapters of the tabernacle being built. Here's the thing. Creation is not important to salvation. But we struggle with so much of the Bible because, I can't believe that because I don't understand it. God didn't ask us to understand it. If God said it, that's good enough for me. I would rather believe what God says than what scientists say. Scientists have been scratching their heads for the last 2 years trying to figure this thing out, and they're still baffled. Because if they'd figured it out, we'd have been through this. Going into lockdown. 2 weeks, we'd flatten the curve, and then we'd all be okay. Brilliant. Scientists. Awesome. But if God said it, we know that God is an omniscientist. Because that's what science means. Science means knowledge. God is omniscient, as Andrew said Wednesday. All knowledge. But yet we don't believe what He says. We believe He rose from the dead because He said He would do it. And there's proof that He did it. But yet when He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We don't, as Christians. We don't believe that. And we struggle and we battle with what we are facing. And we try and work things out ourselves. And we try and make sure that we can come up with the remedy or we can rectify the situation instead of just turning around and saying, God, I cannot do this. But I believe You can. You know, when anybody comes to me and says, oh, you know, I'm struggling with this and I'm struggling with that and I don't know what to do. And I said, well, look, God says he's not the author of confusion. You need to take this to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't understand why I'm in this position. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why this is going on in my life. But you said to me that if I called unto you, you'd hear me. You said if I knocked, you'd open. You said that if I asked, you'd answer. You said if I sought, that I would find. If we believe that God rose from the dead because he said that that's what he would do, then don't we believe that he would take care of our needs? Because he cares for us. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes we are those disciples on the Emmaus road and we are walking disheartened because God hasn't answered a prayer in a way that we thought it should have been answered. And we use the past tense. Well, I trusted instead of trusting. I trusted in Christ. I believed instead of believing. We kind of believed and now I'm not so sure because this hasn't gone right and that hasn't gone right. And sometimes we just need to come into the Word for the Lord to say, I'm going to remind you that I'm still God, that I'm still on the throne. And if I said it, it'll come to pass. Sometimes we are like Mary in the garden, the one in the garden that just needs to be reassured. Sometimes we're like the two on the Emmaus road that need to be reminded. And then sometimes we're like the 11 in the upper room that need to be rebuked. In Mark, back to Mark chapter 16. In verse 14, he said, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Later that same evening, the Lord appeared to his disciples. They were eating their evening meal. And Luke 24:36 just says that the Lord simply appeared in their midst. As they were receiving the report of the resurrection appearance, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road rushed back to Jerusalem. And as they're receiving that report, the Lord appears in the midst. John 20:19 tells us that the disciples were locked in the upper room because they were scared. They were frightened. And the Lord just simply appears in their midst. And John 20:20 tells us that he showed them his hands. He showed them his side. And when he did that, the disciples were glad. Mark says that he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. The word upbraided means he took them to task. Do you know, I kind of liken these different insights into the Lord because sometimes, you know, people kind of skew who Jesus is. And, you know, the awful pictures that we have of Jesus have him as this some like hippie kind of looking character with long flowing hair and blue eyes and being like, yeah, peace man, love and peace and everything is kind of, I'm just going to love everybody. And well, there were times when the Lord, I'm not going to say he lost his rag because that is irreverent or sounds irreverent, but there were times when the Lord was angry but sinned not. And I imagine the Lord in the temple turning over the tables going, yeah, I love everybody, peace, man, and this is all good. The Lord was angry because of what they'd done to his father's house. And it says in the upper room, he took them to task. He didn't stand there and go, look, it's okay. I know you're all going through a lot. But I love you anyway. Yeah, he did love them. But it says he upbraided them with their unbelief. He took them to task. What's the matter with you? You didn't believe what I said? I told you 3 days and I'd rise again. You didn't believe what I said? And now somebody has physically seen me rise from the dead. Two other people have physically seen me risen from the dead. And you still don't believe. What's the matter with you? And I think sometimes we're exactly the same. God has answered this prayer and this prayer and this prayer and this prayer and has blessed us in so many ways through our lives. And then the one thing that we're frustrated about, we say, God, that's not fair. And he's like, what's the matter with you? I've given you my word. And you don't believe it. And I've blessed you in this way. And you're still not happy. And I've done this for you. And you're still holding part of your heart back to me. What's the matter with you? We don't like to be told off. We don't like to have a row. I used to quite like playing up in school. I used to like kind of getting people in the class to laugh, whether it was at the teacher's expense or whether it was at somebody else's expense. And it's great when you get away with it, brilliant, and then you'd have the row. You send out of the class, you do the walk of shame. And then you'd be standing outside of the classroom. Now that's not too bad in Form 1, but when you're in Form 5, it's a little bit embarrassing. When you're in your GCSE year and you stood outside the class and all the kids are walking past going, oh, he's had a row. We don't like having a row. Sometimes the Lord has got to give us a row. Because sometimes, as his children, we need to be reprimanded. Because just like a child, we can be stubborn. We can be spiteful. We can be hurtful. We can be selfish. But it's a good thing when the Lord gives us a slap across the wrist. Because the Bible says, those that the Lord loves, he chastens. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And sometimes we need to be reprimanded for our unbelief. Because we put a limitation on God. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this week. I don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow. I don't know how we're going to get through this. And you're like, God must be sitting there thinking, really? I like rose from the dead. That's like a really clever thing to do. And you don't think I got the power to take care of your little need? I took care of almost 20,000 people on a hillside with just a little boy's pack line. So you think I can take care of what you are facing right now? What's the matter with your unbelief? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, ye of little faith. So how do we get more faith? We spend more time in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These men had all the evidence they needed to believe that Christ rose from the dead. But they didn't. And that's the problem, you know, when we witness to people, they want that evidence in front of them. Well, can I say this? They do have the evidence right in front of them. Because if you were talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the evidence that God is real, that Christ is risen. Because I can promise you this 100%. If you had known me when I was a teenager, I would be the last person on this planet you would ever think would be stood in this pulpit preaching the gospel. I don't know all of your testimonies. I don't know, maybe, like Joe sometimes says, oh, I hate it when you say, oh, do you remember when you used to do this in school? Because nobody else did that. Oh, you know when you would do this to your parents? And she said, nobody's like that. But a lot of the illustrations I give about my life are really cleaned up so I can share them with you. Because you would not have liked me before I came to know the Lord. You were a miracle. If you've been saved by the grace of God. Because you had a life that's been changed. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are washed away. All things have become new. Sometimes people just want the evidence in front of them. You were it. The incredible thing now is that these 11 frightened men that were quaking in their boots in the upper room on that resurrection Sunday, who were too frightened even of their own shadows, would now go out and turn Jerusalem upside down for the gospel. All because they were reprimanded. Can I say this? If the Lord gives you a row, don't take it the wrong way. Don't pout even more. You know, like, if I ever had a row off mum and dad, the first thing I would do was just pout even more. And then just make things worse. But that feeling of when it was finally rectified and that relationship was restored, that was such a relief. If God reprimands you, then don't take it the wrong way. Don't make things worse and don't pout about it. Think, right, okay, what is the Lord showing me here? What do I need to change? What do I need to confess a sin? Do I need to alter a part of my life? Do I need to do something different? Okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Each and every one of us is different. Maybe you're like the one in the garden and you just need to be reassured today. Christ is who he said he is and he can take care of what you are facing. Maybe you are like the two on the road and you just need to be reminded that God is still in control, that his word is still true. Maybe you're like the 11 in the room. You just need to be rebuked and taken to task for the Lord to literally turn around and say to you, child, shape up. Just believe me and get on with it. How incredible that these men took the Lord's words the heart, and then went out and turned Jerusalem upside down for the gospel, where thousands came to know Christ as their Savior. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, and he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. How do we know that? Because of the change that he's made here. And I know that he lives within my heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Thank you for this day where we can celebrate the fact that you rose from the grave. And Father, help us to not be that unbelieving child. Help us to be a believer that is on fire for the Lord. Help us to be the type of believer that comes to you expectantly. Help us, Lord, in whatever we are facing. You know each and every heart here today. You know the heart that's here today that needs salvation. You know the heart that's here today that needs to be reassured, who needs to be reminded, who needs to be rebuked. And help us, Lord, to take your word to heart so that that word can make a difference in our lives. So in turn, we can make a difference in someone else's life. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our last hymn together. Thine be the glory. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we close in a word of prayer, just a reminder for those that are heading up to the Heritage Park for our Easter dinner. You need to be there for 12:30 for us to be able to get seated. And then I think we're eating at 1 o'clock. So you need to be there at 12:30. There are a few people still to pay. So if you can sort that out as well, that would be much appreciated. Also, we got some chocolates for everybody. We got some bigger eggs.